So one of the beauty of Sunday school, it gives us a lot of very good stories to share. So this is one of them. Little girl was coming to Sunday school, and she was a little bit late. So parents parked the car, and she was going to get in the building as fast as she could. She ran out of the car. She starts running in. As she's running in, she's saying, "Please, Lord, please don't let me be late for Sunday school. Please don't let me be late for Sunday school, Lord. Please don't let me be late for Sunday school." And all of a sudden, her foot caught on a crack in the sidewalk, and she fell face forward over. She gets up. She dusts herself off. She starts running again. This is her new prayer. "Dear Lord, please don't let me be late for Sunday school, and please don't shove me ever again." So today we're celebrating Sunday school on our rally day, and we'll talk more about that in the sermon. But we're also on the next to last of the original 12 of the apostles, and we're down to that Simon the Zealot guy. We know very little bit about him. In fact, other than his name, that's all we know. He appears only in the four lists of the apostles. We know him because of the title given to him. He's known as a zealot. Now, I'm going to give you a couple definitions. There's a traditional definition given of this man, which doesn't seem to fit, but I'd like to share it with you. Because a zealot in that day and time, so we're going to go from a very narrow definition on the way out. In that day and time, a zealot was known as, and this is the actual definition, a person part of a political party in the Jewish nation whose purpose was to overthrow the Roman government and restore the control of Israel to Israel. So the viewpoint is, originally, that a zealot is a revolutionary, someone who would take up arms to fight the oppressive power. In that day and time, the oppressive power was the Roman government. Interestingly enough, this means that there would be a war, and that this person would be engaging in active war against the current government. Now, it's kind of strange, because the Roman rule at that time was pervasive. It was all overarching over most of the known world. And not much hope would be of achieving this little tiny band. But there were zealots at that time. Now, that doesn't make sense, because Jesus chose this person. So let's go to definition number two. Definition number two of a zealot is, quote, "a person who has given themselves to be an agent of God's righteous wrath and judgment in this world, fighting against idolatry, apostasy, and any other transgression of the law." All right, so a zealot here now is not a revolutionary. A zealot is someone who feels like God has called them to be like an avenging angel, that they've taken upon themselves to make where they live pure and holy. Now, we do have an example of a zealot in the Bible. That's the Apostle Paul. Before he became Paul, and he's our last of our apostles we're going to look at in 3 weeks' time. But before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. And he saw himself as this kind of zealot person. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, here's what he shares with us. "I persecuted the church of God and made havoc upon it. I was more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers," and then later on he adds, "than for the love of God." Now, the issue in that day and time of zealous, once again, is the fact that Jesus chose this man. And the problem with zealots of this sort, where they consider themselves agents of God, and we've seen in our day and time this happen, where someone says, this person is transgressing against God, and they make their life a living hell, for lack of a better word. Or they take upon themselves to get rid of people they don't agree with by shooting them and killing them. The issue here is, Jesus chose Simon. And we go back to the idea that because Jesus chose Simon, there's something more here. Now, a zealot, in this second format, only looks at purity and holiness and forgets the other aspect of what God calls us to do. That's to live in love and compassion. You know, when you're a zealot and your only concern is making things pure, you forget what God has done in our lives. You know, God doesn't look this way upon us. God doesn't look at us and say, I want you to be pure and holy. I'm going to punish you to the nth degree until you are. That's not the way God deals with us. God does the opposite. God says, I want you to be pure and holy. And I'm going to change you by love and compassion. I'm going to change you by forgiveness. That's how we're changed. Not because God whacks us with a stick on the head, but because God loves us into a new relationship, loves us into a new existence. So the zealot, number two, takes purity and holiness and forgets the deep aspects of God of love and compassion. So definition number three, which we're going to work on the rest of this sermon, is this. Now we went from very narrow to very broad. And here, Simon the Zealot is, the third definition, he's giving single-minded devotion to another or to a cause, always in the power of love. The greatest tool we have in this world today to deal with the problems of the world is not greater hate. The greatest power we have in this world today to deal with the problems of the world is not greater condemnation. There's plenty of that out there. The greatest tool we have to deal with the world today is the tool of love and compassion. And through those tools, people are brought into the relationship where they want to be pure and holy. That's how it works out. Now, earlier we talked about with our Sunday school teachers, how do we do this personally? How do we become zealous personally? Realize first and foremost, Jesus told us there are four aspects of who we are. He said you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's four parts of you. Your heart is your emotion. Your soul, obviously, is that spirit. Your mental capacity, how you think. And then the last one's your physical, which is your body. So we're called to be zealous for God in all four areas. By the way, there's nothing left of you. Do you know that? This covers all of who you are. And so we're called to be zealous in all of these areas. With our emotion, live fully for God. With our spirit, connected only through Jesus. Think about God and God things. And then last one, we're going to give our body over to the full manifestation, the full living in to Christ's way. That's how Jesus shared this. But then he added something on this is the hard part, okay, of being zealous. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Whoa, God, I think you went a little too far on this one. Don't you think so? A little too far in this. It's easy to do my personal part. But that person, I have to love them? Okay, that's what we're called to do. That's the aspect of being zealous. Now, we pair this up with Sunday school because it's in Sunday school that we learn these first four. How do you tame your body? How do you bring your emotions online? How do you think only of godly things so that your spirit's fully connected to God? But it's also in Sunday school that we can love our neighbor as ourselves in a very controlled, safe environment. Because sometimes in Sunday school, someone may say something you don't agree with. That happens out in the world all the time. If you doubt it, read Facebook. If you doubt that, watch the evening news. Okay? Oh my goodness, it's everywhere. But here it's a nice controlled environment because we agree on one thing. We agree that Jesus is Savior. That the common ground of what we're talking about, of what we're zealous about, is the Bible. And so everything that we talk about is factored through the Bible. That's what happens in Sunday school. Personal opinion? Yeah, you can have all you want. If it's not grounded in the Scripture, then that's exactly what it is. Personal opinion. It doesn't necessarily become reality. So here we learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves, how to grow deeper in who we are as a spiritual being through Sunday school. That's one of the powers of it. It's also in Sunday school that we learn how to deal with people beyond this one. Those folks out in the world who could care less about you. In fact, there's a great quote. I was looking up quotes about Sunday school and what Sunday school do and how you're prepared through it. And someone says what Sunday school does is prepare you for the moment when God puts a Goliath in your life and that you'll find the David within you to face that Goliath. So what Christian education does is prepare us for those people out there who look big. You know, those bullies, those people who aren't kind, those who are not nice. What Christian education does is prepare us to be able to effectively deal with those who are trouble makers in our own lives. That's the beauty of what Christian education does. Now, how do we become zealous in a grander sense? Cindy read scripture. It's so funny. She comes in this morning and she goes, "I think I got the wrong scripture." I said, "Well, what is it?" "It's Palm Sunday scripture." I'm like, "That's the right one." She said, "But Simon's not mentioned in it." I said, "Simon's mentioned nowhere in the New Testament. It doesn't make a difference. But being zealous is in that story." If you remember what happens in the story, on Palm Sunday, as Jesus is going into Jerusalem, everyone's like, "Yeah, this is the man! Hosanna! You are awesome!" You know, they're patting him on the back, they're throwing stuff down, they're dancing in the streets. But when he didn't fit their expectations, they turned. They went from Hosanna on Sunday to "let's kill him" on Thursday and Friday. And "let's forget about him" Saturday and Sunday. We're called not to be that kind of zealous. Hey, the NFL weekend's already started. And for some of you, your football team plays today, right? And for some of you, you know, as a team, and the season goes on, your team won't go so well. We know that's going to happen. And there's always space on the Steeler bandwagon. There's always space there. So someone said I wasn't wearing my black and gold. I'm like, "Yeah, I am. I got black on. I got my little gold fringe right here." But during the course of the year, and this happens every now and then, my team doesn't do as well as they're supposed to do. During the course of the year, you're like, "Yeah, my team's not doing so well, but I like this team over here." And so you start rooting for that team. Get in the playoffs, and if your team's not in the playoffs, then you start picking a team so you can root for. That's called jumping on the bandwagon. Because you're not fully invested, you're only invested for a season. The problem is, there are people who do this spiritually, who jump on the spiritual bandwagon. That for some, they'll say, "You know what? Jesus is great for Sunday. That's awesome. I meet a lot of good friends. Good food. If you didn't go to our breakfast, I woe to you. That was so awesome. We have a great time here." But then come Tuesday, they jump off that bandwagon. They're going to live for themselves. Or we've known some folks who have come for a season here. They've come for a while, and all of a sudden we don't see them anymore. You wonder where they went. They jumped off the bandwagon. And this is the problem of that early group we saw on Palm Sunday, original Palm Sunday, and also in our world today, the people aren't fully invested of jumping not just on the bandwagon, but fully invested in Jesus. By the way, there's no other place in the world you're going to find answers than what you find in Jesus. There's a story that occurs in John chapter 6. Jesus is just getting his movement together. He's chosen his 12. He starts doing some hard teaching. And by the way, to follow Jesus, it's not always easy. Because we're called to love our enemies. Following Jesus is not always easy. We're called to get our physical bodies in control. Following Jesus isn't always easy. Sometimes you bite your tongue to the point that it bleeds. Following Jesus isn't easy. We're called to stand up against bullies, but do so in love. So, Jesus did some hard teaching in John chapter 6. And some of his disciples said, "You know what? I don't want to be on that bandwagon. I don't want to be there." And they left. He turned to his 12 and he said, "Are you going to leave me as well?" Now, Simon Peter, differentiated from Simon the Zealot, answered, "Jesus, you have the words of everlasting life. There is no one like you." And I want to tell you right now that there are many voices out in that world today, but there is not one like Jesus Christ. There's not one who, that when you know him, will transform you. There's not one person like Jesus out there who has answers that go beyond our life, because he's the only one who's been beyond our life here and back again. And so truly, when we find Jesus, we find the answer to our lives and the answer to what's going on. So on this rally day, I have a couple of questions for you all as we end it off. Are we going to be in the bandwagon of Jesus? Or are we fully invested in? Are we going to say of Jesus, "You're the only one to have the words of everlasting life. I'm with you no matter what happens"? On this rally day, Are we going to worship Jesus only when it's convenient? I have nothing else to do on Sunday. I'm fully rested. There's no movie on last night. I'm going to go to church. Or we're going to be with Jesus no matter what. I'm exhausted and tired. He's asked me to take up his cross and follow him, but I'm still going to follow him. Which one are we going to be? Convenient or fully in? Are we going to be there with Jesus when he asks us to bend our mind to his will and change our heart to his heart and deal with the world with his tools? Or are we going to do our own way again? I'm going to do whatever I want with my body. I don't care what you say, Jesus. Which Christian are we going to be? Are we going to be like Simon, who was with Jesus no matter what, even though he went to the cross? Or are we going to go only when it starts getting hard, and then we'll fall away? So the question for today is, are we going to be zealous for the Lord? Not where we strike people down, not where we create a revolution, that we decide we're so fully invested in that there's no other way we're going to live than to live for Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful gift of your call to our heart. You're calling us to be like your Son. And when we follow Jesus, when we fully invest in him, when we're not just on the bandwagon, no, we're all the way with him, transformation occurs. No longer do we have those difficult moments. You wash them away. When we face someone that we find repugnant, you give us the necessary love. When we're faced with a situation that seems to overwhelm us, that Goliath in our life, you've given us the strength to be the David to face it. Thank you, great God. May we be zealous for the Lord. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.